Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure, and in for Julia Fellow, it's Adam Roberts.
All right, hope your Monday is going absolutely fantastic. I'm excited to be back. I was with listeners on a trip to Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand. I was most surprised about Cambodia. Warm, friendly, and absolutely beautiful. Wanted to bring this conversation to you. It's with our tour guide in Cambodia. His name is Dee.
When people ask you to describe Cambodia, how do you describe it? I think many Americans don't really know about Cambodia.
When they ask me that question, I would bring my country to the life, and I can tell that the beauty of my country, Cambodia, is beautiful. If you've been here, you can see how beautiful it is. And also another thing is the people are very friendly, and they look happy, and they want to live with the peace. Of course, they were suffered by the war for many years, so now we are tired with the war, so we don't want war anymore. The country is safe to travel, many things to see in Cambodia, rather than just people. Cambodia itself is rich of the culture, the history. As you know, about the temples that our ancestors built, and many of them are in the country, and especially Angkor Wat. This is one of the best thing, and the, most of the people would like to see it. It is old temple and still in good shape, and people can come and see and learn about Cambodian culture, tradition, and the belief of the people. So all that is about Cambodia, right?
I want to ask you about the people, because people are smiley, they're warm, they seem very happy, they seem very peaceful, very relaxed. What is the secret to your lifestyle? How do you think about life that allows you to be so peaceful?
People seem to be happy because, of course, the religion in Cambodia is Buddhism. So everyone understands about Buddhism. Buddhism teaches us a lot, and we have learned from our Buddha. He's our teacher, and Buddhist people are kind of happy people, friendly people. If we are happy, we smile to people, and we get the smile from those people back.
It's very calm. I think Americans could learn. We work hard, and we go 1,000 miles an hour, and here it's so calm. You seem to have a real balance between work and your family, and it's very peaceful.
Of course, people are very calm here too, and you know that they were taught by Buddhism, like we have to enjoy what we have now, what we make now for living. If a day we don't make much money, but if we get enough for food so that we can survive, so Buddha teaches us you have to enjoy what you have, enjoy your life. And here in Cambodia, people don't mind if you come and just want to take the pictures of them. They also smile for you, and they want you to get a good picture of them, and because they want that their picture go to your country, and that like their spirit is in your country, in the United States.
So America is half a world away. It's very far away, and you see what happens in America from a distance. What are your impressions of America?
Well, so about America, it is very far from here, and I've never been there. But I have seen America in the movie, in the news, and of course, as you know, that United States is a developed country, and people have good life there, of course, good medical care, everything. So here, from here, people would like to see United States or America. We just know that United States is a powerful country, so like that.
Dee from Cambodia. Much more on my trip to Southeast Asia as we head into the next couple of days here on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Big news day here. Should tobacco sales be limited to 21 years of age at the state level? That's not happening right now. Why that is problematic? Alderman Peter Regalis with us up next. So there's a lot of confusion about at what age people are allowed to buy cigarettes and things like that, tobacco products, in our state. It's because Wisconsin's one of only five states that has not yet passed a state law that requires the age be listed as 21 instead of 18. It's not in alignment with federal law. That needs to change. And one of the leaders in this effort is Milwaukee Alderman Peter Burgelis, who has written a letter to the Milwaukee legislative delegation about this. And Peter's with us in the studio. Peter, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So let's dive into this. Did I explain that right? What's happening right now? Is there confusion if you're a vendor about at what age and how it's enforced and all that stuff?
Sure. So I serve on the licensing committee in Milwaukee. And one thing we look at when we renew a gas station or a convenience store's food dealer license is if there are any police reports. And underage sale tickets is something that is listed on those licensing reports. Occasionally we'll see something where there's a police report or a call for service, but no citation was issued. Hey, MPD, why didn't we write a ticket? Well, the person who tried to buy these cigarettes was 19. Well, why didn't we write a ticket to the clerk? Because our ordinance is still 18. Okay, well, let's fix the ordinance. We know federal law is 21. It's been like that for a number of years now. Let's fix our ordinance so that we can write citations appropriately that mirror federal law. City attorney's opinion on that from last summer was that even though state law is flawed, we can't write an ordinance that matches federal law until state law is corrected. So a bill something similar to this has been introduced in the last couple of legislatures. It never got any traction before, but now I want to get a Republican wrote this one. But I want to make sure that it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democratic bill, if it's something that keeps our community safer and gives municipalities the tools and resources we need to do our jobs better, that the entire Milwaukee delegation get on board and support it, regardless of who wrote it.
You know, Peter, I'm glad you mentioned you're on the licensing committee, because I was going to ask related to all this. When we and you guys on the committee consider new applications for a business that wants to sell tobacco products, or maybe think of like hemp-derived CBD, like we've seen pop up in the city over the last few years, how much weight does all of this uncertainty over the law and how it could change depending on the product weigh in on when you decide whether to approve or deny a license?
Well, the city does not approve a tobacco license that's reserved exclusively for the state. It comes out of our licensing division, but that's an administrative approval. Okay. There is no limit on the number of tobacco retail licenses in the city, and we can't not approve a license that is applied for. For CBD or for THC, up until recently, those were unregulated products. So I wrote and we unanimously passed a THC 21 rule in the city of Milwaukee, which prohibits tobacco or THC sales to anyone under the age of 20 or under the age of 21. That's the first age regulation statewide. The state legislature hasn't considered THC for 7 years either. So there's a lot that the state legislature needs to do that would help Milwaukee. There are some things we can do on our own. We can regulate THC because state law does not address it, or THC asterisk the deltas, the delta 8, delta 10. Because state law doesn't address it, the city can step in and regulate that.
I hope you get this figured out. I hope what you wish for happens. I mean, 95% of smokers start before the age of 21. This is a scourge on our youth. I hope you get this done because it's science-backed. There's no doubt about that. We want to ask you about a couple other things while we have you here, Alderman. FEMA denies flood damage assistance for Milwaukee for infrastructure and for other things that are desperately needed because of the rains that took place late this summer. Why? Do you get a reason why, or do you just get a stamp that, no, you're denied?
All I saw was the release that announced that decision. I don't think that decision's final. There's certainly room for appeal and for additional outreach to the feds. And I know the governor's office is taking a lead on that, but I think that's something that across Wisconsin, every municipality in southeastern Wisconsin was affected by that to some degree, some more than others, certainly. But we have a $20+ million ask just for infrastructure and costs from the city of Milwaukee. That's a big, big impact to our budget.
Yeah, that's a real number.
Does it bother you and your fellows at City Hall that you have to be so reactive to something like this rather than proactive?
I am impressed at how DPW was able to manage that. The flood debris collection, getting streets reopened, getting cars towed out of the public right-of-way and out of public streets that very next morning. There was very, very little delay and very little impact. Frankly, I'm surprised from the amount of flooding that I saw in my part of town. That the impacts and the devastation wasn't greater.
Let's move on to the latest with the Milwaukee Fire Department and their equipment situation. Because of the committees that you're involved in and that you lead on, you're really taking a lead role in this. You just handed me something which is fascinating, and this is the age of the frontline engines and frontline ladder trucks in operation in our city. There is a frontline ladder truck, not a reserve. This is a regular truck in service that's 21 years old. There are 8 or 10 frontline engines that are 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. The fire chief is sounding the alarm, saying that this is inadequate and it's becoming a safety issue. How bad, how dire is the situation with our frontline firefighting equipment?
What we just saw today, this afternoon, where a ladder truck was responding to an emergency call, passing by the courthouse, lost a tie rod or a wheel or an axle,
yep,
and got stuck on 10th Street right in front of the courthouse. That is only going to happen more often as our fleet gets older and older. We have a very talented crew that maintains fire equipment in the city. They do their job very well, but it's gotten to the point now where things are just so old. There's only so much. There are only so many Band-Aids you have in your toolbox. The chief asked for $30 million worth of equipment in the budget this year, and it's steadily increased over the last couple of years. And the mayor's proposed budget gave $2 million for fire equipment.
It's a big gap.
It's a huge gap. The reality of that gap is dozens of pieces of fire equipment that's past its recommended age. You can say, well, 15 years, you know, we're only a year or two beyond that, but 15 years is the maximum nationwide standard. Our fire trucks in Milwaukee deal with salted roads and potholes, and as a major metropolitan, they have multiple calls for service every single day. These trucks get beat up. They get maintained as far as we can. Right now, we are minus one for ladder trucks in the city. We have a station right downtown, 7th and Wells, that does not have a ladder truck. They're going to reallocate resources, maybe borrow one from a suburban municipality, but we have to be able to invest in equipment. The consequences of not doing that are only going to get worse and worse. Now, we have budget amendments on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to convince a total of three people on the Finance Committee to support whatever budget amendment we put forward. $14.8 million or $12.8 million more is a huge ask for the budget that already started $100 million in the hole. What's going to happen? We'll see where my colleagues are, but I'm having as many conversations as I can. Because I need three votes on the Finance Committee, I need eight votes on council, and if the mayor vetoes something, we need 10 votes on the council. That's a big ask.
Are you talking to the mayor's office also?
Absolutely.
This is, I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere. This is why it's so difficult, because this is critically important. We can all agree on that. But money that goes to this is money that's not going to somewhere else. How do you balance that?
That's what the whole budget process is about for every priority that we have in the city. Now, $2 million buys one fire engine, not even a fire truck. A fire truck costs $2.3 million. We have 43 pieces of frontline equipment in the city right now, which means on a 15-year lifespan, we should be replacing no less than three each year to keep our eyeballs above water. We're not. We haven't been doing that for a very long time, and the consequences are coming.
And is it safe to say that since this deals with emergency response vehicles, that it probably goes up higher on that priority hierarchy than other matters?
There are a lot of priorities in the city. Don't get me wrong. When I talk to my residents, when I was running for office, and when I talk to them now, public safety has always been the top priority. Basic city services are a must. It's not a want to. I would love to have shiny new fire trucks. No. We need fire trucks that don't break down when they're responding to emergencies. We need fire trucks that a firefighter feels confident getting on top of a 100-foot ladder to in a high-rise, right? Right now, we just had annual inspections for ladder trucks. Three of our trucks failed. They'll be repaired if they can, right? And we'll get them back in service. But three of those trucks are out of service because they failed their annual UL inspection.
He is Milwaukee Alderman Peter Burgelis. Great information. Alderman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. 525 at WTMJ. Chief Meteorologist Brian Niznanski. Niz, good afternoon.
Hey, John, I'm happy to see that you still work there.
Me too. There, huh? Me too. It's good to be back. It's really, really good to be back, actually.
I bet. I'm sure it's a loaded question, but your trip looked amazing.
It was amazing. Friendly people, beautiful stuff, lots of history, Niz. It was a really, really special in a part of the world that I never thought I'd actually get to. So Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, yeah. Thailand. It was really, really something cool.
It looked awesome. The images, some of the stuff you guys were doing just looked super cool.
Hey, I want to ask you back about safely. Thank you. Thank you. I want to ask you about another part of the world. Right now in Jamaica, they're really bracing for Melissa. And Niz, this seems like it's the real deal.
It is. I don't like anything really that I'm okay, I shouldn't say that. The one good thing is it looks like more and more that this is going to be on the western side of the island where it makes landfall. Now, the entire island is going to see big-time damage, including Kingston, which is the biggest city by far. Yeah. The good news is it looks like the eye does not go over Kingston as of right now, so let's hope that holds true. But this is a powerful, powerful storm. My heart goes out. My prayers, everything go out to – I mean – many of us have had the luxury and the privilege to be able to vacation on these islands, and you know some of the infrastructure is not that great. And I just think about the mudslides and everything that's going to happen to these people when a storm that has the potential of 175-mile-per-hour winds comes ashore.
And the other thing, too, with this is, and you mentioned the infrastructure, and Jamaica, a very hilly, very mountainous island, a small island at that. So if the eye even
big
comes
terrain.
Over a little bit of it, it's going to cover a pretty wide scope of this island. And the rain is also what stands out to me. I mean, you saw what happened here 2 months ago when we got what we got, which was admittedly very high. But we're talking with this storm, I'm seeing 20, 25 inches, and that's on the low end possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it comes down in a very short period of time too. This is you're exactly right when you mentioned the topography. Jamaica has got a lot of hills and mountains, and obviously the first thing that comes to mind is mudslides. Landslides and mudslides are going to be a huge, huge problem with this storm, to the point of if there just so happens to be one person out there right now that has a relative that they're planning on, riding this out in Jamaica, and if they're listening, please make sure they are not in an area that is prone to mudslides, because you really have no chance when that happens, and it will happen with this storm. So whatever measures need to be taken for anybody there, I hope they're taking it. This is the real deal. It could come, you know, there's a lot of times where you have a Category 5 storm and it weakens before coming ashore. We might see a little weakening as this thing gets caught up in the westerlies, but I think it's still going to come ashore as a Category 5, at the very least, a very strong Category 4.
All right, Niz, how about us? It seems like it's pretty average for this time of year. Lead us through our 5 days.
On the flip side, we have quiet weather. So what you're going to see is on our storm, on our Midwest picture, there's a storm system west, high pressure to the east. The high pressure wins the battle, so we stay dry. Mainly clear tonight and breezy, a low of 46. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 57. Wednesday, partly cloudy, breezy. The winds are going to pick up again these next couple days. 55 for a high on Wednesday. Thursday, partly cloudy, breezy, 54. Friday for Halloween, a small chance of scattered showers, a high of 52. I know a lot of kids trick-or-treating on Friday, so let's hopefully get those showers out of here and stay dry.
Sounds good. Chief Meteorologist Brian Niznanski, thanks, Niz.
All right, guys, we'll see you.
541 at WTMJ. Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky up next. Fire safety legislation has been proposed that would help us get sprinklers in residential buildings and help take care of landlords as well, maybe. And also, major news this afternoon on the state of our fire equipment in the city of Milwaukee. The fire chief, Aaron Lipsky, is with us live in the studio. Chief, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me, as always.
It's almost like you can't make this up. It's been in the headlines that not enough money, not near enough money, is being allocated to repair and replace the equipment that's in our fleet when you talk about the fire department. And then today, a ladder truck, ladder 2 from 7th and Wells, already a reserve, right?
That's correct.
20 years old, breaks down shortly after trying to respond to a call. I was shocked by that. This is a ladder truck 20 years old.
That's correct.
How bad is our equipment situation in your department?
It's exactly as dire as the data represents. We can have people who may want to frame this as hyperbole or fear-mongering. The charts are available for anybody to see.
Yeah, I have one here.
All right, so you have one, but it is It is, our fleet is in very, very rough shape. It sees extremely heavy service, and it's riding around on the same roads everybody else rides around on. It, you know, hard starts, hard stops, heavy service, all weather, day and night. And, you know, and we were tongue-in-cheek kind of talking about it before. Most people aren't driving around in a 21-year-old personal vehicle. Most people aren't, unless it's a collector's item. And I will just tell you that most people's vehicles are not being used unless they're on a road trip the vast majority of the time. It sits in a garage overnight. It sits in a parking structure while you're at work. It sits in a parking lot at the grocery store. It is to go to and from places. Very, very minimal use compared to what our fire apparatus and EMS equipment sees. So it's not, I mean, it's so far the other direction right now. It is what it is. And my intent is not to, you know, sully anybody's good name or to cause crisis or stress for anybody. But my firefighters and my paramedics come first for me. And we're lucky nobody was hurt in today's incident.
You can see the image right now of this ladder truck. If you text watch to 855-616-1620, this was just into our newsroom about 2 hours ago. And now you're here with us, Chief Lipsky. You, I think, among all the local leaders in this city have preached safety for the people that you oversee, whether it's on this matter, whether it's on putting out fires at the old Northridge Mall. You are forefront when it comes to this. As the fleet sits right now, are your firefighters safe on what you're rolling out there every single day in general?
We have an incredible repair shop and incredible mechanics who are doing everything they can to keep these rigs, to your point, safe for the people that are using them. Everything is not predictable. Every last eventuality is not preventable. However, right now I would say yes, with the ones that I actually have in service. But I have to do some math with you here. I normally have 8 ladder trucks serving the city of Milwaukee, down from 16 that we used to have. Those just got slashed in budgets of years gone by. So I have 8. But today, a wheel falls off the ladder truck, and I have 7. I don't have any more reserve ladder trucks, John. I don't have a single reserve ladder truck left. They're all either failing tests or themselves out of service or deployed in the field in place of other frontline apparatus. This may all seem very academic and elementary, except I have 7 ladder trucks now to cover 96 square miles. That is not acceptable by any measure. And so we are in real time racing. I do believe we have possibly found a spare ladder truck in a suburban neighboring fire department. They're willing to share that with us. So I might be able to get that truck back up in just a few hours here.
All right. Excuse me, Chief. Want to change gears and ask you about another thing that's very important. It was discussed today. Mother's Day fire earlier this year. 5 people were killed. A tragic event. Sprinklers were not in that apartment building. And there's been a lot of consternation about how do we give municipalities and other entities the power to enact legislation that would require sprinklers and protect landlords and all of that stuff. You're at the forefront of a measure that would accomplish some of that. Can you tell us about the legislation that you discussed earlier today?
Yeah, it was a very, very nice surprise, and I was very happy to be included. We held the press conference at Engine 32 and Ladder 9 on 30th and Galena, which they were the first companies to the Mother's Day fire.
Yep.
So they saw it firsthand. So the pieces, there's 3 pieces of legislation, and in short, they all deal with the concept of fire prevention or fire safety preventative measures to include scanning our environment. How many multifamily dwellings do we have, not just in Milwaukee, but in the state that aren't sprinklered? If it was built before 1974, they didn't have to have sprinklers. And I can just assure you, if they didn't have to spend the money, they didn't. So they didn't add it out of goodwill.
Yep.
And so we need to find out exactly where those are so that we can change our response plans to those buildings. It also deals with trying to assign a pot of funding just to recognize, it's not going to solve the whole problem, right? But just to recognize and acknowledge for the property owners, the business owners who own these multifamily dwellings, that you know, I can bang my drum very, and I will, and I'm never going to stop banging that drum. That doesn't make it cheap. It doesn't make it easy to retrofit a building with sprinklers. This begins to acknowledge that by creating a small pot of grant funding that property owners could use to retrofit their buildings. Now, across the entire state, of course, but it's a starting point. It's a starting point, and I think that's important. I was just absolutely thrilled that somebody heard all of this and put it all together. We've been banging this drum for a very long time. We got to move past it at some point and actually just start doing it.
I know it raised a lot of eyebrows when that fact that this rule was grandfathered in for some of these older buildings. And we see this from time to time where something was grandfathered in and then so many years later it comes to the forefront. Chief Lipsky, as you've gone through some of the other rules that are on the books maybe in terms of firefighting that maybe made sense in 1950 but don't now, are there others that you've got your eye on that in your eyes doesn't make sense?
So anything related to compelling a property owner to upgrade the standard to the modern code pre-1974. And there's, off the top of my head, I mean, there could be smaller little things like, egress pathway width, the width of a hallway, the number of stairwells required based on the height of a building. There could be a number of these things that come into play. And we can tell you, I mentioned this earlier today at the press conference. We're 150 years old as the Milwaukee Fire Department. 50 of those years, a third of our time, sprinklers have been required. But the previous 100 years, a lot of those buildings are still around. And we're 50 years into sprinklers being required. We are still arguing about this. But you know what I don't hear an argument about? I don't hear a lot of arguing as developers and management groups and property development outfits start pushing to reduce fire protection so that they can sell more square footage. That seems to get everybody's attention right away. Sprinklers, affordable housing. That's the tagline. And affordable housing is necessary. We have a dire need for affordable housing. I would rather have affordable housing that people can actually survive a small fire, not becoming a huge fire and trapping them. Survivable housing. That's what we need.
Doesn't matter how affordable it is if you can't survive it, that's for sure.
Yes.
And congratulations. Not many departments have a ladder truck that's now old enough to buy a drink. 21 years old. That just shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Always good to have the Chief on. Hey, by the way, if you want to catch that interview, or we also had Alderman Peter Bergalis on the show today with a very interesting conversation about tobacco sales legislation and the state of the police and fire department. You want to catch that interview, or maybe you want to hear Brian Bulaga, Green and Gold Insiders, you can always text the word WAN, W-A-N, to 855-616-1620. And you get taken right to our podcast page. It's that easy. The Wisconsin Afternoon Podcast is sponsored by Dave Dragkamp Heating. It's Dave Dragkamp Heating. On tomorrow's show, Peter Jerving was an officer killed in the line of duty in 2023. His mom is with us in the studio talking about why we need to get tougher on criminals when it comes to the sentencing phase. So Peter Jerving's mom, Patty, will be with us live in the studio tomorrow. And also, new cancer breakthroughs, Dr. Joe Zenga with us in the studio.